If you want to hire and retain great people, listen up. The Executive Resources Board is the Social Security Administration's central hub for all things recruitment and retention. More than 80% of all SSA leaders and more than half of all senior executive service members have come through this development program. Reggie Wells is Social Security's Chief Human Capital Officer and Deputy Commissioner for the Office of Human Resources. He tells Executive Editor Jason Miller about how the board is helping SSA prepare its workforce for today and tomorrow.
We're taking it down to the GS-9 level because our leadership development program is our lowest level leadership development program, national leadership development program. And then we have an advanced leadership development program that is focused on 13s and 14s, and then ultimately our SES candidate development program, which we now have people coming into the developmental program at a 14 or a 15, depending upon the competition.
And what made you guys decide to take that discussion, that training down to GS-9? Was it something you saw, or was it just the logical move in terms of, you know, getting people prepared to step through the process?
Well, it's a logical move, I think, for us as an organization, but we've had those national developmental programs for almost a couple of decades now. It was something that was one of the enviable aspects of Social Security, is that we have the long and short view of things from a tactical standpoint. So our leadership back in the mid-90s saw the emerging retirement tsunami and decided that it was really important from a organizational standpoint to do a better job of developing the leaders within the organization. Back then, practically all of our leaders came from within through hiring and movement up the chain. In more recent years, we've recognized the importance of having some talent come into the organization externally in addition to those we groom from within. And we bring them in at various levels depending upon what our needs are in the organization. So those lower level developmental programs are natural feeders into the higher level developmental programs. So it made sense to look at them holistically as opposed to taking each one as a separate program. Now, a person could go into one and never be in the others, but we're finding that some folks are coming to the lower level program, getting developed up to a certain point, performing well at that level of leadership, and then applying in a few years later for the next developmental program, and ultimately the SES candidate development program, which allows them to then, of course, if they're appointed to a senior executive position, they come with all of that investment in them.
What kind of dividends are you seeing from this program? Because as agencies struggle with that retirement wave, and I know it's been more of a drip, drip, drip than an actual wave of washing everybody away, per se.
That's correct.
But are you seeing that you're able to keep up with having well-trained people who are ready to move into those positions as the people who have been in government for a long time retire or move out?
Even under the best of circumstances, it's a struggle to keep top talent and to keep employees engaged and willing to move into increasing levels of authority. The last few years haven't been the kindest to public servants, and as a result of that, a lot of folks are being turned off and discouraged. But what we're finding is that the people who do step up to leadership, this investment in them really does support them, and it bolsters their sort of resolve to take on these wicked challenges that are facing government today. And so we do see a return on the investment. We're actually placing 85% of our SES candidate development graduates into executive positions. And that's either positions here at the agency, or some of them actually get away from us to take on challenges in other federal agencies. But we, you know, see this as a federal corporate enterprise. And therefore, if one of our well-trained folks can help another agency in their leadership challenges, we're more than happy to make that contribution. Of course, we reserve the right to attract good talent from other places as well.
Of course, it's the friendly competition of the back and forth. And sometimes, obviously, it's good when someone leaves SSA and comes back. They've brought in that knowledge from whether it's another part of HHS or another agency all around, whether, you know, a DOD, a VA, or whichever agency. Give me a sense of how often that happens, too, that people leave and come back. Do you have numbers on that?
I don't have any specific numbers I can give you. I can tell you anecdotally that we tend to do pretty well at all levels of the organization. I was recently talking to some employees who had sort of grown up at Social Security left to get a leadership opportunity over at Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which is part of HHS, and they came back to us. You know, it helps to be, you know, we're sort of competitors down the road from one another.
The other thing about the training process, what are you doing in terms of to get them prepared? There's different levels. There's GS-9 level you mentioned, then there's the 13-14. Talk a little bit about the different training opportunities for each person at those different levels.
And we have actually a what I would characterize as a lattice of developmental programs. It's not simply the three national programs that are very highly competitive that we run as resources allow us to. But we also have regional programs because we do have a pretty large footprint, you know, regional offices, regional territories, and even some international work, embassies around the world. And so our folks can, you know, basically move in and out of those programs. We also have component programs. So, for example, I'm Deputy Commissioner for Human Resources here at the agency, and I have a program that we're running out of the Office of Human Resources, primarily focused on developing the leadership within my component, for example. Although we are always open to having people rotate, because that's a real important feature, we believe, in developing employees. And I was very pleased that the president's recent executive order spoke to the importance of having people rotate. And it's through those rotations, really, that people are stretched and have those leadership growth spurts, as I call them. So, you know, we find it to be a really, really valuable thing, and have had people, you know, move from our SES Candidate Development Program rotations here in the agency to sometimes external assignments at other agencies. We find that that's, you know, you take a little bit of a risk because your talent is going over and working in some other agency, but, you know, our intention is to get them back and to have them apply what they've learned from those other agencies to the good of Social Security.
It's interesting you bring up the fact that this isn't just, you know, one size fits all development program. You can, there's probably one for HR, one for finance, one for IT, so on and so forth. As the Chief Human Capital Officer, as the Deputy Commissioner for HR, do you oversee or do you have a input into a lot of these development programs, or are they very specific to the mission area and they're really developed by people in that mission area?
It's both. Under the Office of Human Resources, you have the Office of Learning, which plays a major part in all of this agency-wide. You also have the Executive Services team, which focuses on everything senior executive, and we have a very strong component there, very very small, but very 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 talented. And through the inner workings of our Office of Learning, Executive Services, and then our Executive Resources Board, and then working with the components, because those programs that are component specific are simply one brand of it, as you're pointing out. Then we have the regional programs, which is another brand, but the national programs draw from all over the agency, and those are the people who really do get to step up into enterprise-wide kinds of activities as they make their rotations through different components of the organization. So you may have somebody get into the program from our operations component, but then they go do an assignment in systems, or they go do an assignment in human resources, or they go do an assignment in the policy area. And it really does take them out of their comfort zones. And when you get taken out of your comfort zones, you fall back on your leadership talent and your leadership ability, because that's the common denominator for you to be effective. And so we've gotten what we consider to be very good results from it.
I think that's fascinating, and I want to go look at the results in a second. But before I do that, you mentioned the SES executive order and the rotational assignments piece. Would you give us a few thoughts about the SES executive order? You know, obviously you thought the rotational piece is good. Anything else in there that you would highlight that stands out to you as someone who's got to now implement it?
Well, I would be a little bit disingenuous if I didn't say that everything in it was great, because I was one of the 24 folks who got to serve the president that way by sitting on this work group on SES reform. And it was a very spirited, debated experience. And I think the best of what we could come up with that sort of focus on the enterprise as a whole, that is government as a whole, produce some really good things. So, you know, we focused on the importance of recognition, and I had an experience out on the West Coast where the Greater Los Angeles Federal Executive Board recognized the senior executives in their catchment area. And, you know, these are highly credentialed, highly talented people. And it was just so gratifying. I got to be a part of the program, and it was so gratifying to confer these senior executive recognitions and acknowledgments of their backgrounds and experiences and contributions there in the greater Los Angeles area. And one recipient said to me, you know, I've been a senior executive for many years. This was a really nice opportunity for someone to say thank you to me for what I've done. So it doesn't matter whether you're, you know, GS2 or an SES. As public servants, we really do, we don't do this to get rich, obviously. We don't do this necessarily for the recognition, but when the public in particular, or when others recognize our contributions and the hard work we've put in, it's meaningful, that those intrinsic rewards are really important to people.
Reggie Wells is the Chief Human Capital Officer at Social Security, speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.